The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2008, an investment bank named Lehman Brothers collapsed, sending the United States and much of the world into a financial crisis and recession that it's still recovering from. Today on Benchmark, we're turning our attention to another country, this time in Eastern Europe, that's facing its own Lehman-like moment. Except this time, the troubled company that could bring down that nation's economy is not an investment bank. It's one that makes and sells food. I'm Scott Landman, an economics editor with Bloomberg in Washington.
And I'm Daniel Moss. I write about global economics for Bloomberg View in New York.
So the country we're going to talk about today is Croatia. And like most Americans, I haven't visited the place. I don't know a whole lot about it, except that it was involved in a really terrible ethnic conflict in the former Yugoslavia. Can you help me out, Dan? Have you been there before?
I have not, but I am intrigued that a supermarket could swallow a country's GDP, and we're not talking about Amazon or Walmart.
All right, let's bring in our two resident experts who have been on top of this story in recent months. Jasmina Kuzmanovic is a reporter for Bloomberg based in the Croatian capital of Zagreb. Luka Kazaragi is a corporate finance reporter for Bloomberg in London. Jasmina, Luka, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Jasmina, can you start us off? The company that threatens Croatia is called Agrokor. Can you give us a brief history of where it started and how it got so big?
That's right. The company was started by its owner, Ivica Todoric, who started it as a flour business in the 1970s. This is when Croatia was still part of socialist Yugoslavia and the country was introducing some pro-market reforms. Then after Croatian independence, when the government abandoned the communist model for the market economy, Todoric's business really took off. It grew into a retail and also food conglomerate, not only in Croatia but also in neighboring countries. He expanded by borrowing, usually at very high interest rates, even in those early years, because Croatia was seen as a new country, as a risk. In the past year, the borrowing caught up with the company, and eventually in January, the lenders stopped offering additional financing, and that sent the company into a debt crisis, at which point the government, concerned about the spillover to the rest of the Croatian economy and the region, brought a special law designed to shield the economy from systemic risk. And Todoric, the owner, invoked the law in April. So since April, the company is under the government restructuring.
Let's zoom out a little bit. How much of Croatia's GDP is threatened if you take everything together, including suppliers to this company?
Nobody has really offered a definitive figure for this. We can definitely say that Agrokor annual revenue is about $7 billion, which is equivalent to about 15% of Croatia's GDP. However, when you take into account the suppliers, and the suppliers range from the smallest farmers to the big food producers and processors, then this effect is obviously multiplied. The administrator, the state-appointed administrator who is now overseeing the company, recently said that about 500,000 people in the region could be affected if, in the case of Agrokor's collapse.
So this company is Croatia's economy?
In a way, yes. Yes.
I mean, like you were talking about at the top, Dan, if you're trying to take some analogy to the U.S. economy, it would probably be something like Amazon and Walmart and, you know, Kroger or other large grocery chains, and you roll them all together and, you know, it would probably account for, well, if you have a $19 trillion U.S. economy, you're talking, you know, at least several trillion dollars worth of GDP or the equivalent if you were kind of making that straight comparison, right?
And if you were including the supplies, a lot more.
Exactly. I mean, it's certainly bigger than what Lehman Brothers represented. It is bigger than the impact for Croatia is bigger than the impact of the car industry in the U.S. and a similar event when the government was saving the car industry. It's really hard to describe the in terms of other countries globally what this would mean. But this company, yes, it is Croatia.
And Luka, let me bring you in so you can talk about the international financial angle on this. How Yasmina was talking about how it started to take on debt and it got trouble in that angle. What exactly did the company do, and how did it get into this situation with international lenders?
The company has been a bond issuer for many years. It has offered interesting yields for investors, international investors, because of it's perceived as an Eastern European company, so a bit riskier than Western European equivalents. The turning point in the story here for Agrokor is probably 2014, when the company acquired a large competitor in the region, a Slovenian company called Mercator, hoping it would could merge its own retail business with Mercator's retail business, improve profits, make savings, and shield the company from the competition from other retailers from the European Union. Remember here that Croatia joined the EU in 2013. But after that, they realized that the merger wasn't going as planned. Profits didn't improve. Competition from other, especially discount retailers like Lidl in Croatia was getting stronger and stronger. As Yasmina said earlier, at the beginning of 2017, the company tried to refinance some of the loans they had taken out with Western and Eastern European Russian banks in previous years. The market wasn't ready to refinance those debt, and that triggered a panic that spread from bondholders to banks to suppliers, landlords, and eventually the Croatian government and also other governments in the region where Agrokor operates felt the need to intervene to prop up the company.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
So in other words, investors just didn't feel that even though they were offering probably pretty generous yields, I mean, what kind of yields were they offering on their bonds?
Slightly less than 10%, which in the current environment is quite high.
Even with that, that was still, those are very high for that region, basically, and that was just too risky for people to take on, right?
At the time also, it was starting to become clear that there were some problems with the accounting of the company. few months into this crisis, we still don't have an exact figure for the total debt of Agrokor, because there were a lot of the suppliers took out loans from local banks, eventually guaranteed by Agrokor, which may have not been recorded on Agrokor balance sheets. Accountants are still looking into that. But again, at this moment, we still don't have an exact figure for the debt of the company.
How is Russia involved in all this?
Well, there are two elements here that we need to bear in mind. Russian banks, controlled by directly by the Russian state, by the Kremlin, are the biggest lenders to Agrokor. Sberbank, which is Russia's largest bank, alone lends almost $1.5 billion to Agrokor in the past few years. And it did that as it expanded outside its domestic market around 2013, 2014. VTB, the second largest bank, is the second largest lender to Agrokor. The other element to bear in mind is that Croatia is a crucial country for geopolitical reasons within Southeastern Europe. It's part of the EU, it's part of NATO, and has large access to the Mediterranean Sea. Historically, it's been aligned with Germany and the US. It's a predominantly Catholic country. But Russia, at the same time, has had an historical interest in the region and is close to Serbia, which is the largest country in former Yugoslavia and the main enemy of Croatia during the ethnic conflict of the 90s. Now, we don't know whether the loans to Agrokor, the loans by Russian banks to Agrokor had a geopolitical motivation to start with. We don't have evidence for that. But what we can say is that Croatian politicians want to avoid that the country's largest company goes under Russian control. And they've tried to avoid that since the start of the crisis. Where we are at the moment is that Sberbank, as the largest lender, wants to recover its money, but it walked out of a deal signed by other creditors of Agrokor, including banks and funds, hedge funds, American hedge funds, and it's starting legal battles against the company and also the Croatian government in several Balkan countries, including Croatia, Serbia, Slovenia, but also in the UK.
Not so much the end of history.
No, it feels like we are just at the beginning of it, and we'll probably hear more about this company in the next few months.
So this is much more than just a Lehman-like effect on the economy. This is something that, you know, is almost like the West versus Russia again. You know, you have Ukraine not too far away, and that's been kind of a tug of war in recent years. And now it seems that could affect Croatia too. I mean, it's just even more interesting angle to the story. Maybe Yasmina, I'm curious, how does this affect the average citizen in Croatia, and how would people feel about you know, this company being in trouble, and also the potential power play by the Russians to maybe get more leverage in the region there?
Right. I mean, as we said, Agrokor has about 55,000 people, employees, about half of them in Croatia. So considering that Agrokor makes things from pork sausages to ice cream, it has business in tourism, in travel, in real estate. It owns the main newspaper distributor in Croatia. It owns luxury hotels on the Croatian coast, movie theaters in Belgrade. It is really hard to find a family that doesn't have some connection to Agrokor, either through somebody who is directly employed, to somebody who supplies, or even somebody who writes for a fashion magazine, whose magazine has is sold on this through this chain of newspaper kiosks that Agrokor owns. People actually lost jobs because of the Agrokor crisis in a French magazine, Elle. You know, the Croatian version, the Croatian edition of Elle magazine. That sounds really bizarre, but
it does sound bizarre.
People are concerned what is going to happen to Agrokor. There was some schadenfreude in the beginning because the person the owner of Agrokor. We have to remember that though the government is running restructuring, the owner formally of this whole conglomerate is still Ivica Todorić. And he ran the business as a tycoon. He ran it as a family fiefdom. His three adult children were employed at top positions, family, friends, in-laws. He made always sure that among his employees are spouses and children of ministers, judges, of regulators, of politicians. So there was a little bit of glee that this empire has fallen down. But now I think people are concerned, and people understand the geopolitical reasons that they don't want Russia to become, or Russian, or a Russian-owned bank to become the owner of the biggest. Agrokor is the owner of most agricultural land in Croatia, so they don't want Russian state or the Russian bank to get that. As Luka said, it's interesting that the two Russian banks came into the lending game quite late in 2014, and what was their interest in lending to Agrokor, which already had financial troubles. It's quite clear now. We have to see what happens in this tug of war, because Sberbank, as Luka said, is suing Agrokor from London through the Balkans in every former Yugoslav country, almost every, Slovenia, Bosnia, Croatia, and Serbia. And I think the next year will be crucial for all this.
So what happens next if people don't want Russia expanding its influence in a region where it has historically meddled? What's the alternative? The IMF?
The short answer on the IMF, I don't think this is likely. The Croatia was last in the IMF program in the 1990s, and then after that had a long recession, 6-year long recession, but it recovered, and currently Croatia's GDP is actually expanding. The government has stopped this possible chaotic bankruptcy by bringing the special law in April. So it stopped the situation from deteriorating. And whether the question of bailout comes up again really depends largely on how successful the government will be in the restructuring, whether it can help arrange a successful settlement. Because there are only two outcomes here, a settlement or bankruptcy. But can you have a successful settlement without your biggest creditor? And that's Sberbank. That's a huge question here.
Can we make this about something more than Agrokor and Croatia? What's the parable here?
The parable as in how was this all possible?
No, I mean, is there a broader significance here than just Agrokor and its travails and wither Croatia? Is there a story here about how a small, relatively new country, which was part of a broader grouping, is finding it tough to stand alone?
I can answer from the Eastern European point of view, and specifically from the point of view of former Yugoslav countries. This, I think the parable is, and the lesson here, if you want, is that Agrokor is the result of the crony economy, of the crony socialism that became crony capitalism. Because you simply couldn't have such a company doing the business so untransparently and in a gray area, as Luka mentioned, the way they didn't pay the suppliers on time. The suppliers had long delays in payment. The Croatian Central Bank played a good role because several years ago it limited the Croatian bank's exposure to Agrokor, but other regulators were not so quick. So because it couldn't get any more cash from the local banks, Agrokor developed this whole way of financing through suppliers actually getting loans and then giving Agrokor the biggest part of those funds. It seemed that everybody knew everything, and this was tolerated by every government for a quarter of the century. And the lesson here is this has to stop. Even the suppliers that are now in problems also play their part here. They continue to help Agrokor under those circumstances, and they need to Another thing when you said, is this going to lead to a bailout? It all depends whether the companies, all the by Agrokor and other Croatian companies, will change their business model, whether they will diversify, whether they will go to other retail chains, and they have to become more competitive. They need to change all this for the company and for the whole economy to get not to end in a chaotic situation. And the next year will be crucial for all that.
Luca, do you want to get in a last word here?
Yeah, I thought as another lesson, maybe we can. It's a lesson for international investors. When Agrokor came to the market, it paid more than competitors, than peers in Western Europe, not only because it was based in an Eastern European country, but also because analysts, and I spoke to many of them after the crisis started, these analysts at credit funds could not get to the bottom of the Agrokor's accounts. There was always something that they could not explain in terms of how to reconcile their numbers. And the company happily paid a few extra percentage points in yields in its bonds and its loans in order to get away with that uncertainty over the numbers. But in the end, this came back to bite them because the recoveries for investors may be very low.
Well, I think I know what Dan was maybe driving at here. And when Luca, when you talk about that, that reminds me of Lehman Brothers 9 years ago, and analysts were saying pretty much the same thing. Couldn't reconcile the books together. Something wasn't quite right. Didn't add up. And the result was, we know it now. It was it's what happened in 2008, the global financial crisis. Yasmina and Luca, thank you so much for joining us today. This was really informative and interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Benchmark will be back next week, and until then, you can find us on the Bloomberg Terminal, Bloomberg.com, our Bloomberg app, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and Stitcher. While you're there, take a minute to rate and review the show so more listeners can find us, and let us know what you thought of the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott Landman. Dan, you are at
Moss_Eco.
Yasmina, you're at JASKUZMANOVIC. And Luca is at LCASIRAGHI. Benchmark is produced by Sarah Patterson. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.